Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Our text today is from our gospel reading from John chapter 8, where Jesus, after they said that he was a Samaritan or demon-possessed and asked if they were right in saying so, said, "I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." And again he goes on to say, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And today we consider God the I Am. Dear friends in Christ, today is Trinity Sunday. This is where we emphasize the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Spirit. Three persons, yet one God. And in that emphasis, we often look for texts that tell us not only that the Father is God, that the Son is God, that the Holy Spirit is God. We look for texts not only about things such as the baptism of Jesus, where we see the Father present speaking, the Spirit descending like a dove as the Son is baptized, or like the Great Commission, where Jesus tells his disciples to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. We look for other texts that prove that each of them is God. For example, we look for ones where the Spirit is shown as God, such as where Ananias and Sapphira, they lie not just to men, but to God, as they lie to the Holy Spirit. And in our text today, we especially see texts. In the whole book of John, we see texts, such as the Word who was with God in the beginning and was God, where Thomas at the end makes the great confession about Jesus, my Lord and my God, and even today, where we see Jesus saying of himself, "Before Abraham was, I am." And we see lots of these texts that say, the Father is God, the Spirit is God, Jesus is God, and we see God present as all in all three. And if that was the whole point to Trinity Sunday, was just to say, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, I suppose that we could say, case closed. That we showed it. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit's God. Jesus declares, before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus says he exists without beginning. Before Abraham, that I am. Jesus declares himself in the same words that God used with Moses to speak, I am who I am. And you, thus you shall tell them, I am has sent you. Jesus uses the same words. We have our proof texts. And if that was all there was, I suppose we could go home, and if the Jehovah's Witnesses or a Muslim happens to come by, we'd have a text ready. But that's not all there is about Trinity Sunday. We're not going home now, because it's more than just that the Father's God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. But not three gods, but one God. And we're also fortunate because today is Father's Day as well. And so, happy Father's Day to all of you fathers out there. But it's good that it's Father's Day, because that's going to help us see the Trinity. And more than seeing the Trinity, it's going to help us see how we confess it, not just with a creed, not even a really long creed like the Athanasian Creed, but also confess what we believe with our lives. What does Jesus tell us? He probably tells us more about the Trinity at the beginning of this text than he does when he says, I am. Jesus tells us that he honors the Father. And he tells us that though Jesus seeks not his own glory, that there is one who seeks it, namely his Father. And Jesus does teach about the Trinity here, but he teaches not so much about his Godhead as he teaches who he is in relationship to the Father and who the Father is to him. It teaches the relationship that the Son honors the Father and the Father seeks the glory of the Son. They're not competing. They're not fighting, they're not one-upping each other, they're not working at cross purposes. But they honor each other, they lift each other up, they glorify each other. It sounds kind of idyllic. It doesn't sound much at all like many of our relationships to our fathers, nor to our sons. Because after all, we seek to compete. We seek our own good. Because we're sinful human people. In fact, because we're sinful human people, the most unbelievable thing about the triune God is not that there's a God who is all-powerful and in control of things, but that he exists in three persons, and that's not the most unbelievable thing. The most unbelievable thing to us is that God exists in perfect unity from eternity. That we could have three persons perfectly united. A Trinity in unity and a unity in Trinity. That it's unbroken from eternity. That seems unbelievable. And what's even more unbelievable in this world where there is so little unity is that unity unbroken from eternity. God offers it to us. Because Christ honors the Father as he goes to the cross as a servant. And the Father, he raises up the Son to his right hand. Christ is all in. He gives his very life for the Father, and the Father is all in giving up his Son. So that not just his Son, but that all creation can be redeemed, can be reunited with him, its creator. They are united in the redemption of the world, and they invite us to join in their unity. And Christ affirms it today as he tells us, right after he says, the Father who is the judge is the one who seeks his glory. He goes on to say, if anyone keeps my word, he'll never see death. Now this is a promise of eternal life in Christ, that he goes to the cross to win for us, but it is more than that. It explains this eternal life. That eternal life is a promise that all who share unity with Christ, all who keep his word, join in the Father's unity that is from eternity to eternity with the Son. That's what we learn from the I Am. is present before and is now and will be forever, who is present in the Father and in the Son and in the Holy Spirit. That there is a unity that we are invited to join in Christ. That Abraham was given that unity. Abraham, the one the Jews claim as their father, he was separated from his earthly father. He was sent to a far distant land and separated from his earthly home, looking instead to his heavenly father and to a promised home. He didn't try to defend his earthly place, but went where his heavenly father put him, that he could receive a heavenly place. And he saw the promise of God. He looked forward as God promised him his own land, as God promised to bless the nations, and said that he'd make of Abraham a great nation, as he promised him a son. And Abraham rejoiced in God's promises, and he rejoiced to see the beginnings of those promises fulfilled. And he received his son Isaac after many years of longing and waiting, when he was 100 years old. And he received him again miraculously back from the Lord on Mount Moriah. And he could see that God was keeping his promise, that the day of the Lord had come, that God was keeping his promise to bless all the nations through him, that the unity that the Father enjoyed with the Son and the Spirit would extend to all nations. And so Abraham, though he had no longer an earthly father nor home, he rejoiced to see the salvation that God worked for him, and he praised God because he saw that God had brought him into his own family. And he saw God's salvation beginning its fulfillment in Isaac that culminated with Jesus. He rejoiced in that day. And so he testified to the unity that the Father enjoyed. He testified to the I Am. Of the Jews, those who claimed Abraham as their father, they denied that God fulfilled this promise. Instead, they called the one that God sent. They called his very son, one with the Father to eternity. They called him a Samaritan. They said he was demon-possessed. Instead of seeking to honor the Father, they denied God was acting in their lives. And they might have said they were honoring God, but they denied the one who was sent, and they proclaimed themselves the master of God's word. And they proclaimed themselves higher than Jesus as they put him down. They affirmed a hierarchy. They wanted to say, God, he might be here, Abraham is here, but I know my place that I can claim here. And they needed Jesus to not be so high, so they could keep making those claims as to where their place was. And in so doing, they denied a God who came to upset the hierarchy where death ruled over men, to give them a place. They claimed their own place at the banquet table, such that God could not tell them to come up here instead. They claimed their own place, and in doing so, denied their relationship with God, such that he'd have to ask them to go lower and move them to a lower one. And when they lifted themselves up, they said that they hated the Trinity. That they hated God. Because they don't trust that God's the one who raises them up. Christ the I Am, Christ the eternal Son of God. He raises up our human nature to the heavenly place. As he's obedient to the Father, honoring him as he goes to the cross. Because the Father raises him up, even in the midst of suffering. Even as he has no earthly home or earthly descendants, yet the Father raises him up to a better place. And he raises up our human nature with him. And we confess the Trinity, and we confess the I Am, and we confess the salvation he brings into our lives. As we embrace that we are creatures of God, not seeking our own place, but instead seeing that God has made us his creatures, that we aren't put here to work out salvation for ourselves, but can accept what God gives, and see that he's put people into our lives and humbly serve there. That's how we affirm the Trinity. That God, who is in community as Father, Son, and Spirit from eternity, also puts us, as he seeks, the Father seeks the good of the Son, and the Son the honor of the Father, he seeks also our good, who share flesh with the Son. And we honor him as we also call others to believe. As we also proclaim clearly the same word of God that the Father has given us, not altering them to make them more palatable to raise ourselves up, but saying the very words that God's given us. As we do the deeds that God puts before us, as he puts neighbors in need and says, help them, just as I've helped you. That's where God's put us. Where we don't seek our own good and say, I'm too tired or it costs too much. But say, the Father will take care of me. Just as he took care of Christ, his Son. That I will have my place, whatever God gives me. And so I can act now as a son of God and help my neighbor. We can rejoice at seeing the day of the Lord. We rejoice not in having obtained for ourselves a place, but that God has given us one. That we don't need to demand where we'll be. We don't need to fight for our place. But instead can humbly serve. Just as the Son who shared our flesh did. Now today, confess the Trinity. Today, take heart. God is here eternally. I am. In the midst of sorrows, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of service, God is there. Suffering and serving with us. He is present, the I Am. He's present for us in suffering and in service, and he's present as we honor him by serving in our suffering and our service. He is present, surely, in his word and sacrament, and he is present in our lives as we serve. The Son, Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And there is no other. One Trinity who invites us to partake with Him in the unity that He has. Rejoice in that today. Amen.